Moncrief on News Talk.
Stephanie Preisner in for Sean and joined by the wonderful Joanna Fortune to answer all of your parenting queries.
All of them.
Every single one.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Let's not pretend that you haven't been answering all of my parenting queries in the ad break. Yeah. Let's get down to it because as ever, we have so many questions. Hi, Joanna. My 3-year-old daughter is hitting the terrible twos late, it seems. She's generally well behaved, but she has no patience and a very short fuse. When things don't go her way, she loses the rag and often hits myself, her father or her older siblings. Where has she learned this aggressive behavior and how can we stop it?
I mean, look, you could call it aggressive behavior, but actually it's toddler behavior.
I didn't write this question. hard relate.
I think a lot of people will. You know, we call it the terrible twos, but really we're talking about a toddler phase of development and associated behavior. So it doesn't start bang on two and it doesn't disappear the minute they're three. You know, it can linger and she is in that phase of development. So this really describes, you know, a phase that I'd call parentally unpleasant, but typical behavior. For toddlers, and largely because they're still developing their capacity for speech, they're still extending and growing their vocabulary. And so when they get frustrated, which is often, they don't have the emotional fluency to say, you know, it's been a lot over here today. I'm overwhelmed by the volume of stuff I've had to juggle. I'm tired. I'm hungry. And instead, they have these behavioral expressions. So it's not that your daughter is ever trying to be difficult, but try to flip it in your head that she's having a difficulty. And this is how she expresses it.
And that's a great way to flip it. But I find that because we're so chronically online all the time, there seems to be so many ways and so many different online therapists telling me different ways how to deal with it. In some places you validate it. Oh, you're having really big feelings. Let's deal with that. Other times you ignore it. You don't engage the demon. And other times you, I don't know, like some people are saying like, yeah, tell them it's not okay and ignore them, which I don't think feels right.
I mean, I don't know. When I'm having big feelings, being ignored is the last thing that's going to work for me because I want to be seen. I want somebody to notice the hard time and because I can't make sense of it. Help me make meaning of it.
Yeah.
So the ignoring it, I mean, all you're doing is buying yourself a bit of time to gather your thoughts. But you're not addressing anything and ignoring it. And the behavior doesn't go away. If we want our children to calm down, we are the calm through which they're calmed.
Okay.
So the only thing we need to do in those moments is check in with ourselves before we check in with them. Okay, hang on, where am I at? Like, where am I at in my own emotional arousal right now? Because if I'm bubbling at an 8, I am not my finest version of self to deal with this tantrum.
Okay.
But if I'm like, okay, I'm okay, I'm at a 4. It's a bit.
But what do you do then if you're at the 8?
I'm the one who needs the timeout, not the child. I'm the one who probably needs 5 minutes.
So you leave the child having their tantrum.
If you
have, take your
time. If you're co-parenting, if you have a partner that you can tag in and say, I need you to take this one.
Even if that partner is called Miss Rachel. Can you put them in front of a screen to calm down?
Sometimes you pick your battles, Stephanie. Okay. You just got to go with what works in the moment rather than getting it wrong. But actually taking just a minute just to breathe, like just to go, okay, hang on a second. Let me breathe in 3 times and then I'm going to come and deal with this. If your toddler is having a big tantrum and they are physically safe, you know, they're not at harm, they're not at risk. They're going to be okay for a couple of minutes in that tantrum. They really are while you gather yourself and then you come in and do the co-regulation because that's what's key at this stage. They cannot calm themselves down. They cannot self-regulate their emotions. They co-regulate with us. So the best thing you can do for your toddler is mind yourself and be at a level that you can manage their feelings at.
But when my toddler is at, like when she goes off on one, I'm all like, okay, I'm fine. I'm going in. We're going to co-regulate. And she has no interest in being anywhere near me.
No.
So I just sit on the floor like really calm and start playing
exactly
with a jigsaw.
What you do.
And then eventually she joins me.
That is co-regulation.
That feels like ignoring.
No, you're parallel with her. You're in the room. She's not alone. You're there. You're using that kind of low melodic lullaby-esque type of tone of voice of saying, it's okay. Come and play. I'm here. Leave silence in between and just throw out a little short sentence, keeping your voice in that rhythmic tone. And that in itself is co-regulating.
Okay.
Co-regulation doesn't mean get a hand on them and make them feel like you instantly, because that's just not, I'd love if that's how it works, by the way, but that's not how it works. But you being able to stay calm, always hold in mind that at this age, their frustration threshold is incredibly low. Their impulse control is incredibly low. And their capacity for delayed gratification, extremely limited.
Non-existent.
So it is a perfect storm.
Yeah.
And tantrums are an expression of frustration. I'm displeased with the instruction or the boundary or the limit that you've set for me, and I will show you how displeased. always go to hungry, thirsty, tired, unwell before you do anything else. Could you feed this behaviour? Could you hydrate it? Does a nap solve the problem? Are they feeling a bit unwell, cutting a tooth, brewing something? Mm-hmm. Because if they're physically dysregulated, that will also come out as a behavioural expression.
It might also be the, well, I think in my daughter's case, it's a personality type. But I often am frustrated as well because there isn't a, so say for example, she's trying to open a zip.
Yeah.
And it gets a tiny bit stuck. She'll just scream.
Yeah, that is frustrating.
But then it'll, oh, so there's no teachable moment because she's just gotten over it. But there, yeah. She always does the scream. And I'm like, could you
but
please?
It's the zip is a perfect one. It's also like if you've ever seen a child that age trying to get the lid off a Lego box or a block box and they just can't get it open and they shake it and you can see they're coming and then they fling it across the room. If we only respond to the scream at the zip or the throwing of the Lego box, they don't learn anything. But if we can say, oh, it got stuck and you got so mad you screamed.
Yeah.
And then we open it. It's not like she's going to say, Eureka, I've got it and I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
But it's consistent repetition of that where you're saying it got stuck. That frustrated you. That made you scream. You're doing cause and effect building by repetition of that.
Sorry for hijacking the parenting slot. We will move on to the next question. Hi, guys. I hope you can help me. My 17-year-old son's social life has become extremely busy since the start of the summer. He's out partying at least twice a week, which I don't mind because he's young and he should be having fun. However, recently I found a small clear bag in his trouser pocket when I was doing the washing. A bag I can only imagine contained drugs of some sort. There was a small amount of white speckles in the bag, but I can't be 100% sure what the substance was. I haven't noticed any unusual behaviour other than him being buzzed after a few drinks. He's honest about consuming alcohol and we have an agreement with this, but should I be worried that he's pushing boundaries and consuming other substances? How should I broach the topic with him?
I think exactly like you've broached it here in this question. I really think that if you approach it openly and honestly, but directly, mm-hmm. especially with a 17-year-old.
So like I found this.
100% go what? In it that way. Like it sounds like they've an open enough relationship to talk about alcohol. So build on it. We've talked about alcohol, but now I have another question for you. So for example, if you're in the car with your 17-year-old side by side, you know, that's a really good time to do conversations with teenagers. You don't have the face on intensity. There isn't a way out. They have to stay with you for the conversation.
Yeah.
And it could be just the two of you while you're doing it. Just really kind of check in with yourself and make sure that you know what is it you want to say and what is it you want to find out from the conversation. Equally, if having the conversation at home during a quiet time that there isn't anyone else around, quiet, calm time, you know, that it's not okay, a bit clear of the throat. Here comes the big question. And just simply say, I found a small plastic bag in your pocket of your trousers when I was doing the laundry. The story I'm telling myself is that it contained drugs because there was a white residue in it. Can you confirm what was in that bag?
And he says, yeah, it was cocaine. And then what?
You're sitting down and saying, okay, you're 17 years old and we're now having a conversation about the use of class A drugs. You know, so that's a very serious conversation. And you do need to sit down and talk about the legal ramifications, but also the health, physical, emotional, mental health ramifications of using drugs, how unsafe it is, the effects it could have on his general well-being. You have to go into that. And there are many, there's lots. If you're thinking, I don't know what that could be, HSE has a lot of information on their website around drug use and information about that. There's other websites as well. But regardless of what he says, like equally if a 17-year-old goes, I don't know what it is, you know, that's nothing, that was sherbet. If he says, you know, that was just from a dib dab. If he was to go at you like that, you could say, okay, so if I was to get that tested, you're telling me it won't come back as anything mm-hmm. other than sherbet. And let him look at you in the eye and say yes or no to that. Because you're really talking about trust. This sounds in this letter like there is a trust-based relationship here. I would invest in that. I would feel confident that because you have an open relationship.
I also feel like he wouldn't have left in his trousers if, like, I, you know, there's...
It's a bit careless.
Yeah.
And so there is that little bit of, you know, if you didn't want me to know about it, then you needed to be more careful. It's a bit casual. It's a bit careless. But if you think that is drugs, then you absolutely have to follow up on it with, he's 17. It sounds like he has a very active social life, by the way, at least twice a week partying, you know, so He either has a job or you're being very generous with the pocket money. So also examine where the money to fund the lifestyle is coming from, but have a conversation. But regardless, even if it wasn't, let's play devil's advocate here, even if it wasn't drugs that was in that bag, I would still use the fact that you thought it was to begin a conversation about drug use regardless, and do that regularly. Have those conversations. If you hear something on the radio, if you read something in newspaper, cut it out and say, look, I don't think we've really talked about this. It's something we should have a conversation about. Don't be afraid to say what you don't know. Like, I don't know about this. I don't really understand it. We need to look it up together mm-hmm. and find out more. Don't accuse him. Don't come out and go, you did it. I know that's what this is. Don't lie to me, because that's going to drive disconnection, and you really want this to be an open conversation that encourages honesty. So don't scare him, but stick to the facts. Be curious. And if he's saying, look, it's not mine, I was minding it for a friend, I kind of feel like that's the answer you might get. Use hypothetical things. Okay, let's say a friend asks you to hold something like this for them and you're stopped by the guards. What are you going to do if the guards were to search your pockets? If, for example, a friend offered you cocaine, what would you say? Mm-hmm. Use hypotheticals just to talk it through with him. But either way, I would address this head on.
We have a text here, or two texts actually. One saying, don't say anything to your son that will make him hide his drug use from you. Ask him to mind himself and be careful and be aware that drugs could have anything in it, like the current prison situation. We know that there's 11 people in hospital from, is it Port Leash prison?
Port Leash, from, awful.
Tell him that he can tell you anything and he won't be in trouble. And another text saying, I have a 12-year-old who still throws tantrums. I don't know if that's looking for support or if it's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, at 12, it's probably just pushed beyond tantrums. It might be something else. There might be more dysregulation, that they're just not managing emotions or big feelings. So there could be another reason going on. And nothing sinister now, but just something that child might need a little bit of extra help managing emotions if it's still a big issue at 12.
We have another text in, someone not really knowing what regulate means. Does regulate mean calm down and or relax? Like, does it help a child if the parent loudly and repeatedly tells them to regulate?
No, absolutely not. That's it. That if you were to say to somebody regulate, it's the exact same as if someone said to you calm when down. You're worked up, calm down. I mean, it is the last thing that it's going to affect. We do it rather than say it. So when I say that you're going to co-regulate your child, it's really that you stay calm enough that they can match your calm and therefore be calmed. So it's you staying calm and in the zone. If you imagine you've got a zone where things are comfortable and you feel in control, that's what we'd call maybe an optimal arousal zone. I'm calm, I'm comfortable, I'm in control of the situation. It doesn't mean I don't have highs or lows, but I'm actually, even when I do, I'm in control of them.
Yeah.
That's where you want to stay most of the time, because if you're in that zone, then you're regulated enough for them to regulate against you and with you.
Okay. So it's not an active thing.
No, and it's not an instructive thing. You can't direct me to do it.
You can go and start doing maybe an activity that...
Exactly. And music is really good in that, if you can put on some music and get dancing, even if it's just putting on music in the background and you're physically present, because rhythm and synchrony is very good at triggering those parts of our brain associated with emotional regulation. Quite literally, when you're out of sync, getting you back into sync.
Joanna, we have an angry text. Okay. This gentle parenting thing has gone too far.
Oh, is that
I see children with absolutely no manners and their parents letting them run riot. You have to be cruel to be kind. Children need a firm hand, not literally, but figuratively. Yeah, now, what do you say to that?
I'm not speaking on behalf of gentle parenting as a movement at all, you know, but I actually think that gentle yet firm is what we're talking about, because I would agree insofar as children do best, all of us do best when we have clear boundaries and limits, but that doesn't have to be done through authoritarian, aggressing, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm in control, because actually the research doesn't bear it out that that's more effective. Mm-hmm. It's simply a different way of parenting, and fear-based control isn't something that teaches behavior that can then be sustained by children as they grow up. They simply learn to be afraid of you and not to do it around you.
We will move on to our next question. My eldest daughter started school last summer at the age of almost 7 years old. We are in Romania, so this is the normal age to start school. This year we decided to change our daughter's school, and although we brought our daughter to see the new principal, we didn't tell her that she was moving at the time because her place was unconfirmed. She's now been accepted and she will start in September. We are wondering how and when we should tell her that she will be changing schools. I'm sure she will settle in just fine, but I don't want to give her too much time to worry about the change beforehand. Should I give her the opportunity to meet her old teacher before or after she joins her new class? Do I have to spell out a reason for this change, or could I go with, we think this is just the best for you?
I mean, yeah, because I don't know why you're changing her school. So there might be a context that isn't, you know, included here, like a specific reason that you want her to change school. If there's a specific reason, then you might refer to that specific reason. Because of this, that's why we're moving school. But she hasn't had a very long time in this first school, let's call it that. She's been there a year, but she will still have made friends. So be sensitive to that when you do present this to her that she's moving. So you're not asking her if she like to move, you are telling her, because it does sound very clearly you've made this decision, you've thought it through, and you've made it in her best interest. That's what's been driving it. So tell her in a really positive, upbeat, not hyperactive, not performative, but positive tone of voice that the principal that she met, that person she met during the summer, has called to say that they would love to have her in their school, that you're really excited about it because it's a great school and it's going to be the best place for her. And you're presenting it in that way. And that's where you're going to be going in September. She is allowed to not be as happy as you about that. Okay. She is allowed to say, no, I want to stay where I am. And you can say, oh, I understand that because you know it and you're familiar with it. But this is where you will be going to school in September. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, back to that boundary piece. If the decision has been made, you have to present it to her as a decision that's already been made. And you can say, we just heard, I wish I could have told you 2 months ago, but we didn't know then.
Yeah.
We've just found this out. So if then you can walk around the school, you know, it might not be open yet for a visit, but if you can walk around it, if you can point it out when you drive or cycle or walk by and say, that's your new school, maybe you know somebody who's already going there that she could have a play date or meet up with a couple of kids from her class. You might be able to be connected in with a parents group who of the parents already in that class to arrange that so that she knows a couple of kids ahead of the first day. All of that could be really helpful. And it might just be that, you know, you make it an exciting thing then where you go, let's go pick out a new pencil case or a new lunchbox or whatever it is for your new school. And you're speaking about it positively. Just be sensitive that she might miss something of her old school. They mention in this letter her old teacher, but not friends.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm not sure, you know, is that part of the context? But, you know, I don't think she needs to meet her old teacher to say goodbye, because that wouldn't be the teacher she'd likely have in September anyway. But if she would like to send a goodbye card to her class and to the teacher, you could certainly consider doing that and just put it in the post and send it off.
I hijacked a lot of this segment, so we can't get to the next question,
okay, we'll
but
next
we'll
week.
Do it next week. Yeah. Joanna Fortune, thank you so very, very
a
much.
Pleasure.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.